Stormwatch with Chip Merriweather.
For to you fan of the WHMPS Earl, je m'appelle Le Boule Jacobich. I am a Scoops French cochon. Oh, pardon me. Cousin. I did not mean cochon, that mean pig. Silly me. After Scoop's unfortunate and highly questionable, yes, I'm talking to you, sheep, jar incident, he has asked me to step in for this recap for my beloved Hexpo. I love the Hexpo. And now I'd like to welcome Sheep. Sheep, are you there? Sheep.
I am here. Thank you, Le Boule. On a beautiful Tuesday night, Storm faced off against the Expos. Both teams had some rough defense and good offense, which made for a back-and-forth affair that was closer than Storm.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you about a back-and-forth affair, if I may. So, his name was Serge. And unfortunately, we were in the Great War together.
And Serge was busy.
And I went back and forth. And back and forth.
Serge was very busy in the Great War, apparently. And also, aren't there laws against, you know, that cousins? Anyway, I'm lost.
Not with Serge in the middle.
Okay. All right. A back and forth affair that was closer than Storm would have liked it to be. The Expos managed to hang in the game, partially because they hit well, and partially because they are the anti-Hannett. Whenever anyone made a mistake, their team understood and assisted in bettering themselves next time around. This positive attitude made Storm feel slightly bad about coming back to beat them, but
did
not
it,
too bad.
Did it though?
No, not really. I don't really. I was just trying to be nice, you know.
I understand. Yeah. Very thoughtful of you.
Yeah, they just wanted to win anyway. The game didn't start well. Batting practice Thomas certainly lived up to his nom de plume. As he
oh, I love that. You use the French language sheep.
Yeah.
Thank you, sheep. Merci beaucoup.
He didn't hit the mat in the warm-up. He had apparently been hoping that Captain Underpants would be a last-minute sign-in. He did eventually find the plate, and Storm made some plays behind him once the pinball wizard finally, moistly, showed up.
It's true. His outfit, how you say, costume... His orange clown outfit had just gotten out of the laundry, not dried. He was
quite moist. Yes.
Moist, I think is the word.
Yes.
Moist.
Storm got out of the inning, having only given up one run. Storm was able to one-up the Expos, literally, by scoring a deux in the bottom of the inning premiere.
Sheep, I think you are just trying to suck up to me.
You know,
I'll
leave the sucking up to you to Serge.
Allô, mon Dieu.
The second was not kind to batting practice Thomas. The Expos scored 6 runs, mercying Storm. Pinball Wizard, or as we know him, Rick O'Shea, once again lived down to his name with an error. However, he was not the only one. Bongo, that frothy, panted monkey, showed up and caused his usual mayhem. Some outfield juggling followed by a throw from the Saskatchewan howitzer that had the option of chicken or fish as its in-flight meal. The Storm was pretty offensive with its offense as well, as the Omdorn scored 3. The bottom of the order started things off with 3 consecutive singles, and Big Daddy D hit a 4th consecutive single, and Lancer Beam capped off the inning.
It sounds like they're starting to turn thing around. But trailing into the third, La Storm's defense and pitching calm down, and they blank the UPs in the third. Are you getting the UP reference?
Exposed. UP mascot.
I find your accent offensive. They had their biggest inning of the game so far. Again, the bottom half of the order got the ball rolling. The Bride of Frankenstein and Jean Dotank and Siggy Stardust all reached the base, while the Pippi, who was hitless, decided that he was better off going for a little IPA. He walked to first. Lancer Beam drove into, and my favorite Irishman, Rick O'Shea, must have had a virginal sacrifice worked somewhere. Speaking of virginal sacrifice, that reminds me of my third honeymoon, because he drove in a run. Now then, the Storm defense took a small blue pill, very similar to the one I took 3 hours ago, which remind me I should consult my physician, and started to solidify. BBT or BBT pitched continued. His pitching continued very well into the fourth. And the Expos were held to a run. The Bride and BBT, helping his own cause, again started with the single. Once again, reminded me of why I took the blue pills. Big Daddy D and the PP hit triples. Lancer Beam doubled in a run. And Ricochet finished off the inning with another virginal sacrifice single. The Storm scored the max 6 and took what looked like a commanding 66-8 lead. At least, like I did on my second honeymoon, looked commanding. That is, until the top of the unfortunate fifth. Oh, woe is the fifth. If the pylon d'orange had wheels, they had clearly fallen off. Because not a lot of folks seem to be able to actually move their feet. The Stormy outfielders are so confident in each other's abilities, as they should be. They did not feel the need to, as they say, back each other up or have each other back or, you know, come in from the backside. My French is not so good. Case in point, the 1967s had two men on. A reminder of my first honeymoon. The Bride made a valiant attempt at a short liner, which unfortunately got under his glove and sans backup, a little French there. The ball rolled all the way to the fence, giving the 67s a three-run in the park home run. Sacre bleu, have you ever seen such a thing?
Yeah, actually, the same thing happened in the Broadway game, but anyway.
I was not in attendance on that game, so... However, on the other hand, the Stormies were moving too fast. Some were moving too fast, or at least their throws were. In the same unfortunate inning, with a runner on third, a hot shot came back to Bevete, who then rushed home plate, only to fire a missile at Barbie's bow, who was catching and returning after a lengthy injury break. The ERYX-145 wire-guided missile bounced off the heel of Bebe's glove and between his feet, allowing a run to score. Well, our favorite monkey, Bingo, had grown so weary of playing his organ. Once again, sounds like my evening tonight. He then packed it up and started flinging his own feces, as this was far more entertaining than watching the Storm play defense. The score at the end of the fifth, a surprising 66-14 for the Storm. 16-14 for you, hangly pig.
After being thoroughly embarrassed in the top of the fifth, Storm kept the embarrassment coming in the bottom of the fifth as they scored a giant goose egg. Momentum had clearly shifted, and the Expos had all of it. But softball is an interesting game, and the momentum seemed to shift again right out from under the Expos' feet as they were unable to score in the sixth. In the bottom of the sixth, Ken, who was returning from the injured list, from a list of injuries that is so long we could never list them all here for fear of running out of time on the
And podcast, believe me, the only thing long about Ken is his injury list.
Whoa! Wow. All right. So anyway, he led off with a single. Big Daddy D apparently asked him if he wanted a courtesy runner. Ken, Barbie's beau, said he was fine. He didn't know what was about to transpire.
What transpired?
Big Daddy D's eyes nearly popped out of his head when he saw the right center fielder playing Shallow. And he hit the ball over his head.
Now, by Shallow, do you mean the song by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper from the song? Why was he playing that in the outfield?
It would be really strange hearing him saying, playing Shallow in the outfield. No, he was just playing really close to the infield.
Oh, close to the infield. Not this song. Yeah. It's a lovely song.
No, song.
If I knew a lovely, line, I would song. Sing it right now, but I don't know it. Shallow. No, that's all I got.
Kevin, coaching third, knew that Ken was aching, and so he put up the stop sign. What Kevin hadn't realized was that Big Daddy D was only the home run short of the cycle, and he was not stopping. Thankfully, Ken heard the ground shaking and ran through Kevin's stop sign. The only question now was whether Big Daddy D would pass Ken. Thankfully, he didn't. Big Daddy D scored on an inside-the-park home run for his second cycle of the season. Storm would
that be a bicycle then?
It's a bicycle. Second cycle is bicycle. Yes. Storm would
it's bicycle.
Storm would score 5, and that would be enough for them to hold on to a 21-14 victory. The Expos put up a valiant fight, but Storm's thundering bats compensated for at times questionable defense, and Storm held on to win. With only 4 games left in the season, it remains to be seen if Storm has enough left in them to catch the A's for first place, to hang on to second place, or fall to triple play in third. Next up for the Storm is the aforementioned A's in a battle for the top of the Whimsipal.
Sheep, you have made this very exciting. I am sitting on the hedge of my seat. I cannot wait.
Your seat has a hedge? Why does your seat have a hedge?
I enjoy a good topiary, does not everyone? This has been Watch the Storm.
This is Chip Merriweather signing off. Thank you, Laboule. We will see you next time on Watch the Storm.
Watch the Storm.
Storm Watch with Chip Merriweather.